Well, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Communion that you have given to us. Father, we want to thank you especially for our freedom in Christ. We also want to thank you for our freedom in this country as we fight for this freedom every day. And Father, that you're going to soon liberate not just us, but the whole world. And Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us. Father, you told us to discern the body of Christ. As we look at this body of Christ, which is this bread, we see the different things that happened to our Lord and Savior in his passion. We see that this bread is made without yeast, and yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And we know that Jesus never made a mistake, so his body is and was 100% without sin. We also see that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. And we know that the Bible tells us that he was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. We notice also that this bread has stripes in it. And the Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. Also, Father, we see that this bread has been pierced. And everywhere that the body of Jesus was pierced, he shed blood. And we get redemption in some area for this. I've said this before. If you ever get a chance to go into a Catholic church, go there and go to the wall and find the Stations of the Cross. And go down there and look at each one of these places where Jesus shed his blood. And they have two prayers there. Say the top one. We don't pray to Mary, but the top one is a good prayer for each one of those places that Jesus shed his blood. And these are good things. It's good to know what Jesus did for you. Also, you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. So envision Jesus on that cross taking all of your sins, all of your sicknesses, all of your diseases, all of your shortcomings, and release all those to him. Let him have them. He conquered them and set us free. So we're taking of this broken body of Jesus for our healing and our well-being. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because it never, ever had any sin in it. He had the blood of God in him. We have Adam's blood in us. It means we have sin-stained blood. Jesus had the blood of God. And he shed it all for us. Not only did his blood wash away all of our sins when we got born again, but his blood gives us the boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's because of that blood that we've been put in right standing with God so that we can receive his blessings that Jesus died on the cross to give us. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right, open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. You know, have you noticed there's a lot of tribulation in the world? There's a lot of tribulation in the world, and there's a lot of people that are walking around scared. There's a lot of Christians running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And you're not supposed to be that way. See, the Bible tells us 365 times, something like that. Fear not. See, it'd be one thing if Jesus told us, said, don't be afraid. But he said, fear not. And there's only one way we can fear not, and that is to let his word be established in our hearts. See, Psalm 91 tells us about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. So he's given us these clues on how we can fear not. Number one, we have to meditate on his word so that we can be firmly established in that word. Remember in Psalm chapter 112, we talked about being firmly established in his word. The only way we can be firmly established in his word is to meditate on it. Read it, look at it. Remember one of the laws of liberty, one of the laws that we looked at for the New Testament was the law of faith. And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And to talk to some people, they'll act like faith comes by having heard the Word of God. That's not what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means we're going to have to hear it over and over again. Unless you got such a lightning-fast mind and such a receptive heart that you can just reach up once and you got it, now you're probably going to be like me, and you're going to have to go over it. You know, and sometimes people can be a little thick-headed when it comes to learning something. You know, and we'll have to look at it over and over and over again till we finally get it in our heart. And that's what the Bible calls the rhema word. But we meditate on it until we finally get it in there. You know, don't act like it's something that we shouldn't have to do, you know. When we were little kids, they'd send these stupid little arithmetic cards home with us. And we had to go over and over and over and over them. And I'd have to go over them again. And then they'd make me do them again. And they'd make me do them again. And then we finally get it. But then we finally know how to do our arithmetic, don't we? It's the same thing with the Word of God. We're going to have to go over it and over it and over it again. And don't get frustrated and don't act like you're less than because it takes you a little while to get through something. Kenneth Hagin preached on the Word of Faith for over 50 years. And he said he never got to the bottoms of Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24. He never got to the bottom of those three verses. That's what he built his whole ministry on. He never got to the bottom of it. Kenneth Hagin didn't get to the bottom of those three verses. What makes us think we're going to get to the bottom of the Bible? See, it's going to take us a little bit of time. It's okay. We're going to have to look at it and get it in our heart. But the most important thing is that we get it in there. See, once you get a revelation of something, you know that you know that you know that you know. In here, not up here. Know it in here. Nobody can take that away from you. See, Jesus, when he was talking about the parable of the sower, he said this sower will sometimes throw some seed out there. And these birds would come get that seed immediately. That happens every day. That's not just a nice story that Jesus told us. That happens to us. We get bombarded with that all the time. Well, here's something really good that strikes a chord in our heart. And we might underline it in our Bible. or highlighted on our phone, however that works. But then, the thing is we get out of church and the roast is almost done, or there's a football game on, or there's an event going on, or there's something else going on, and we don't get back to that word that we were supposed to look at. See, that wasn't just something catchy that the preacher said that caused you to underline that. It was the Holy Spirit telling you, you need this. See, I'm not that cool. The Holy Spirit is telling you, you need this. Clint Smith used to say, you should read your Bible. Every once in a while, go back and read everything that you underlined. See, you underlined it for a reason. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we may have to camp on something for a while. One of the big trends in the Word of Faith circle is getting the next new teaching. You know, then so you go on, you just jump from one teaching to the next, and you go to the next one, you go to the next one, you go to the next one. And I noticed that when I was in Midland, it was also church hoppers. You know, these guys, there's crowds of people. They'd hop from one church to the next. You know, all of a sudden, this church over here, that's the happening church, man. Everybody just flock over to that church. And then this church over here, they'd be happening. Then they'd flock over to this church. You know, but they wouldn't get rooted. Same thing with people. Did you know you're not going to get to the bottom of one teaching just because you listened to it once? You know, you may have to wear those tapes out. You realize how long it took that preacher to come up with that revelation to put it on tape? Sometimes it takes them several years. And we think we're going to get it in one listening. We may have to go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it again. And then we finally get it. But see, that's what we do with the meditation of the Word. We look at it, we read it, we think about it, we meditate on it, we say it over and over and over again, and then finally, it gets into our heart, and we got it. Amen. He said, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. See, we get instructions from God, and there's a reason that we take a hold of it, so we can live in this world, actually, live comfortably in this world. Be not of this world. We're not of this world. We're of another kingdom. We're in this world. We have to live here for a while. We're sojourners. You know, our true home is with Jesus. But we're here for now. Now go over to Chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 19. We're just going to start right there. It's kind of in the middle of everything. But the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding, he has established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. And thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You know, verse 1 tells us what that was. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For a length of days shall they add unto you. You know, he didn't tell us to read his Bible and get his word into our hearts just so we have something to do. He didn't tell us to memorize his Bible address by address just so we can go to a competition and win a trophy. He told us to get his word into our hearts. See, I'm really not all that good about addresses, but I know his word. And I got his word in my heart. A lot of the addresses I don't remember. You know, I don't remember what verse, what chapter, what verse a lot of times. But I know his word. That's the important thing, his word. And don't let anybody discourage you because you don't know the address. It's the word we're after. You know, Jesus, when he was talking to people, he didn't say, okay, this is verse 1, and this is verse 2, and this is verse 3. He didn't do none of that. He wrote a letter. The Message Bible is a really good way to look at this. You can just read it like a letter. Because that's what it was. Paul would write letters to different churches. This is really God's love letter to us. And he's telling us how to live a successful life on this earth. See, Jesus said, in this world there shall be tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, that's as much of a Bible promise as my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, isn't it? But you would think, talking to a lot of people, they would think that there should be no tribulation. It's a promise. There's going to be tribulation in this world. You know, don't think that God is going to send you out there full of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and send you on a mission of faith, and that the devil is just going to stay out of your way. In fact, I'm a little bit suspicious sometimes if the devil doesn't get right up in my face when God sends me out to do something. And then I kind of wonder, you know, if it's just smooth sailing, it's just straight and narrow, just easy go. I kind of wonder sometimes if it's really God. You know, the Antichrist is out there, the anti-anointing. So when you step out to do something by faith, you should expect tribulation from the enemy. You should expect them to resist you. You should expect something to come against you. But be of good cheer, Jesus has overcome the world. You know, here in verse 25 is something that the church really needs to get a hold of. It said, be not afraid of sudden fear. I bet that every single one of you has experienced sudden fear. Especially parents. But pretty much everybody. You know that time when you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you wake up breathing really hard and there's something really bothering you, you just experienced sudden fear. You know, as parents, I see moms, their little kid goes, you know, the little kid wanders off and does something, and there's sudden fear. You know, all of a sudden, the ball game's over and they can't find Junior, there's sudden fear. They start looking for that kid. But we're not to be afraid of sudden fear. You know, one of the things that we have to do is, and it takes some practice, is to just stop and ask Holy Spirit about the situation. Ask Him where the kid is. He knows right where the kid is. And keep moving, keep looking, and Junior will show up. But the thing about sudden fear is it causes panic and it causes knee-jerk reactions. And that's not for us. What happens when people panic is they make bad decisions. They make bad choices. One of the best analogy I ever seen was these goat herders in Africa. They'd go out there and they'd herd their goats wherever they needed to. And then when at nighttime, they'd take them to these pens that they made out of these hedges of thorns. They made these pens. And they put these goats in these pens. As long as those goats stayed in that pen, they were okay. And these lions would come out of the jungle. And they'd come up there next to those goat pens and they'd roar at these goats. You know, but as long as those goats just stayed right there in their little hedge of protection, they were good. But if one of them fell into sudden fear and reacted, he'd run out of that pen and he was done. The Bible tells us that the devil, as a roaring lion, roams about seeking who he may devour. Say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. My name is not whom he may. I'm whomsoever. See, we have a hedge of protection around us. The minute we get born again, we get a hedge of protection placed around us. Now, the enemy, he's outside of this hedge of protection. Now, it's up to us to keep this hedge of protection built up. And we do that with the words of our mouth. So we'll get into the Bible, we'll find what God says about it, particularly Psalm 91. We'll say that out loud about us. That keeps our hedge built up and strong. We also have this unique ability of being able to tear down our hedge of protection. Some people take a chainsaw to their hedge of protection with the words of our mouth. By speaking negative words about our situation, about our life, about our kids, whatever. You know, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24, Jesus was teaching us a lot about speaking. And he told us basically to talk to our mountain. So when we got a problem, we're to talk to it. He doesn't say anything about talking about our mountain. When we talk about our problems get bigger. Now, we're not denying that our problems don't exist. I mean, there's real challenges that people face all the time. But the way to get those problems on steroids and get them to grow and grow and grow is to run around talking about them. Then pretty soon, those problems will be built up so big in your mind that you don't think you can do anything about them. And you won't be able to. You've talked the problem up so big till it's not going to go away. Jesus didn't tell you to talk about your problem. He said to talk to your problem. So to talk to your problem means we're going to have to pick up the Word of God and say what He says about our problem. Always remember, when there's a problem, it's because there's already an answer that's been established. There's always an answer in the Bible. Remember, the blessing came first. The blessing was before the curse. The curse didn't happen until after Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, Satan took the blessing away from him and twisted it and turned it into the curse. See, Satan's never been able to create anything. All he's been able to do is counterfeit and twist. So whenever he comes up with an idea, God already had the answer. And it's in the Bible. He's already got the answer. So we just take his answer and apply it to Satan's problem. Amen? But we're going to have to do that with the words of our mouth. So remember, Abraham, he became fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he would do. The only way that Abraham became fully persuaded was he meditated on his word. He took God at his word. And remember, God gave him a promise of Isaac. And Abraham went a long time without this promise. And then God changed Abraham's name. He changed it from Abram to Abraham. And then, it wasn't very long, Isaac was born. What happened? God changed Abraham's vocabulary by getting control of his tongue. Every time God does something big with somebody in the Bible, you'll notice that he changed their tongue. He got control of their tongue. He got control of what they were saying. He started getting people to call things that aren't as though they were. And then things would change. Things would happen. See, he'd have to get people to change their thinking by changing the vocabulary. See, if you walk around telling yourself that you can't do something, pretty soon you're going to get it in your head that you can't do something. And then guess what? You can't do something. See, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're 100% right. And nobody can change your mind. Here's the thing about your subconscious mind that you don't understand, a lot of people don't understand. Your subconscious mind doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know up from down. It doesn't know yes from no. It doesn't know anything except for what you teach it. What you teach your subconscious mind is what you're saying out of your mouth. You're training your subconscious mind. So now you wonder, you know, people wonder why they have these reactions, and they just, whatever they react when it's a big time to move or something, that's what their subconscious mind has been trained to do. So we need to put God's word in us, speak God's word, and make it a habit. And then pretty soon our subconscious mind says, well, that's the way it is. But also, more importantly, our heart gets a hold of it. Says, that's the way it is. Nobody can take it away from us. See, this is why, back to the sower that sows those seeds out there and the birds came and got it. This is why it's so important to go back to that word and look at it and go over it some more and revisit that and look at it some more. And sometimes it may be just one verse. But if the Holy Spirit impressed you enough to underline that one verse, go back to it and look at it. Find out what it is that He wants you to know in that word so that you can take that word into your heart and make it a part of you. You know, you're going to find yourself in the Bible. There's a lot of people that get confused. They start looking for themselves out there. I knew a lady one time left her husband. She said she needed to go find herself. You can only find yourself in the Bible. Right here. Jesus found himself in the Bible. He opened up to the book of Isaiah and talked about how the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. See, that's what happens to us. We find ourselves in the Bible. We open up in there and we find out, especially in the epistles. When you see anywhere where it says, in him, in whom, You know, like, for God has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Talking about us. That's who we are. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and Holy Spirit. That's us now. When we get born again, we get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's us. Now we can go around doing good and helping others. Amen? But you're not going to operate in something you don't believe. If you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. And the only way we can believe it is to look into the Word, find it, and read it, and meditate on it. See, there's sometimes strongholds. Sometimes people have religious strongholds in their minds that we have to tear down. And sometimes maybe we have strongholds before we even got born again we don't even know about. All of a sudden we run into something in the Bible that we've always been told is not that way. See, that's a stronghold. But we have to take what we believe, put it on the table, and then open up the Bible, read what the Bible says about it, and if what we believe doesn't agree with the Bible, throw the Bible away. No? Well, you'd swear that's the rule, that's the way people act. If what we believe doesn't agree with the Bible, we need to take what we believe and put it to the side and say, okay, I repent of this. See, we believed one way, but we changed our mind. We turned around, we believed this way. See, Paul, he believed one way, and he was on the road to Damascus, and he had an encounter with Jesus, and he repented. Can you find anywhere in there where God or Paul asked God to forgive him in that encounter? Can you find anything in there about that? No. But he was believing one way about Jesus, and in the very next breath, he said, "You're Lord. You are Lord." He changed his mind. He repented. He turned around. That's what repent means. He turned around. He started believing another way. See, a lot of times we have religious experiences like that where we get something in a flash like that and we just all of a sudden believe. All of a sudden we know it. But a lot of times it's going to be more of an experience where we have to learn it, go over it, and learn it and go over it. But see, if we're going to ever get to this place, over here in chapter 5, verse 13 says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Where are we going to get to that? We're going to have to meditate on it. Whether we know it or not, our lives are wrapped up in Jesus. See, the minute you get born again, you get baptized into Christ. You're 100% in Him. Did I say the right verse? Was it 4? Chapter 4, verse 13. See, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. See, the only way we're going to get there is by meditating on His Word and looking at His Word. We've got to get it in us. That's the only way we're going to be fully persuaded. See, once we get born again, we get baptized into Christ. And whether you're born again or not, your very next breath is totally dependent on Jesus. We are His creation. We depend on Jesus whether we know it or not. But to have that length of life and have that peace where you can lay down and go to sleep at night, it'd be easier to know that you're totally dependent on Jesus. See, you got baptized into Christ the day you got born again. Your life got swallowed up in the Christ. Now you're His. That's the one baptism that's needed for salvation. You got adopted into the family. Actually, he has the illustrations about that. You know, we were like the wild grape that got grafted into the vine. That's what happened to us. We got plugged into the vine. That clock, right? The five tail? Really? I want you to look over to Psalm chapter 91. Verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me." See, the world got hit with sudden fear during the COVID outbreak. And there was a shockingly amount of Christians that fell for that. They were afraid. But we're not supposed to be hit by sudden fear. When people get hit by sudden fear, they have these knee-jerk reactions. Now, Kenneth Copeland taught me one of the most valuable lessons listening to one of his tapes. I never met the man, but I listened to his tapes. Gave one of the most valuable lessons on panic I ever heard. He's a pilot. And he asked us, said, "What do you do when you're flying above the clouds and you're flying and going and going and going in an airplane and all of a sudden something terrible happens? What do you do?" And, you know, you'd think, well, start pushing buttons. And he said, "Don't do anything." Don't do anything. He said, more people crash because they overreact. People crash because they overreact. If people would just sit still in the shadow of the Almighty for just a little bit, at least until you see which way the wind's blowing from, Then and only then should you do something. And even sometimes, it's still nothing. Just abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. But see, he said, though 1,000 fall, it's not going to come near you. But the only way we're not going to overreact is to be established in His Word. So it'll take time. It'll take some personal time of meditation. And then it's going to take some practice. It's hard to not overreact. You know, one of the things, you know, when we're driving and we happen to get too close to the road, too close to the edge of the road, we want to yank that wheel over or slam on the brakes. These old-time truck drivers said, if you ever get too close, mash on that gas pedal and ease it up. And I thought, wow, that's, oh. One day I got too close, and all I could think of was them old-timers said, mash on that gas pedal, man. And I could feel that truck tipping, and I was mashing on that gas pedal and eased back up on the road. And I told this guy that, and he said, yeah, that makes your driver, pulls your driver down. He said, if you'd have hit the brakes or turned that steering wheel, you would have rolled. Let's see. They had told me, mash on the gas pedal. God tells us how to stay out of these events that are happening in the world. He tells us how to not be overrun by sudden fear. He tells us how to stay healthy. He tells us how to stay safe. But we're going to have to be fully persuaded of it. And we're going to have to trust in it. And most importantly, we're not going to listen to that lion that's out there roaring at us. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the last 5 or 6 years, that lion has been roaring a lot. You just stick your hand up. Say, you're talking to the hand. I'm staying with the man. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We praise you for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for your protection, your supernatural, divinely inspired protection on our lives. Because of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, Father, we thank you that when we take your word and we release it into the atmosphere, that the angels have a job. They've been sent to minister to us as heirs of salvation. They're here to minister to us and take care of us and make sure that your word is performed on our behalf. They protect us. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this big team of angels that we have. And all we have to do is get your word in the atmosphere. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.